are you doing? Nothing's happening. And really, another title for this is The Silence of God. Probably one of the deepest, most painful subjects in the Bible. And there's no way you can begin to just even scratch the surface of this. But I want to give you some thoughts tonight about when nothing's happening. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet again tonight. And I ask you to help us to hear your side of the things. To see what you see. Because from our vantage point, it is often very confusing. But we've read the last chapter. We know how it all turns out. But Lord, we want to know your heart tonight. We want to see that there's some things that will anchor us and help us during the times when you seem to be silent, when things are all quiet and too quiet for us. So Lord, I just ask you, soften and make sensitive our hearts tonight to your word. Bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times when God seems to be silent. Maybe you think he's busy. Psalm 27, if you will. Maybe you think he's not concerned with what you're going through. There are times when nothing seems to be happening around you. Well, did you know that most of the Christian life is a quiet, patient wait upon God? Psalm 27 and verse 14. And I'm going to ask if I can. I like to get you guys. I haven't heard some of your accents in a long time. So let's get it back out there in the forefront. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Let's see. Scott. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Real loud. The last verse of the psalm. Wow, he has to repeat himself, doesn't he? Wait on God. Look at another one, chapter 37 and verse 7. 37:7, Kim, please. And if you feel like you can't read it or whatever, you got a frog in your throat or whatever, just go look at me like that and I'll pass over, don't worry. But Psalm 37 and verse 7. Wow. So if somebody else seems to be succeeding, seems to be just blazing ahead, don't fret. What's the modern word for fret? Worry. Don't freak out. When other people seem to be succeeding, just wait patiently for the Lord. One more, Hebrews. Way to the right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. And Caroline, would you read Hebrews 10 and verse 36 there? Caroline's the baby, if you're not for sure who I'm talking to. Hebrews 10:36. There. Go ahead. Wow. We need patience. Now, teenagers have a problem with doing nothing. They hate being bored, amen? It's just in them to just fidget and do something. Now, it's funny. There are things that they don't want to do. You say, find something to do. And they go, what, like extra work in the house? Extra studies? No way. So you'll find teenagers having to be with their friends, having to always be doing something on the Xbox or whatever, because they feel bored when nothing's happening. Is that not true, yes or no? But many Christians are the same. We laugh at it. We go, why can't you just sit there? Why can't you just read a book? How come you... And they're looking at you. But you know it's the same with us. We find it very hard to rest. When Christians pray and their prayers don't get answered. When Christians are experiencing troubles and those troubles won't stop coming. When the devil seems to just be winning time after time. is a very dangerous time in a Christian's life because it makes us think something has to happen. And many times we even try to take the place of God and make things happen. Exodus 24. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 18. Second book in the Old Testament. Exodus 24 and verse 18. And Graham, would you read verse 18? I'll have you read one other verse in a moment. Exodus 24 and verse 18. All right, so what mount was that? All right, it's Mount Sinai. What's he doing up there? The Ten Commandments, actually showing him how to build the tabernacle, talking about Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood. He's spending 40 days teaching him. Now, did he know how long he was going to be up there? Did he even know what was going to happen up there? He just said, guys, hold on, I'll be back. And he heads up to the top, right? Go now to chapter 32 and verse 1. Exodus 32 and verse 1.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down on the mount, the people gathered themselves together on the iron and said to him, "Up, take a staff which will go before us.
Wow. So I like how it says, when Moses delayed, you know, it's like when you drop your wife off at the grocery store. And she's just going in for two things, right? And 25 minutes later, you're fuming. It's like, what is going on? This is in us to go, well, nothing's happening. And what did the children of Israel do? They made something happen, didn't they? Very dangerous. They decided to make their own gods, and they decided to head back home, didn't they? Hey, Peter made a mistake. God, Jesus had told Peter and the other 11 disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? Anybody remember? The Holy Spirit. And so they went up into the upper room, there where Jesus had the Last Supper with him, and what did they attempt to do for a few days? They prayed. Oh, praise God. You ever tried to pray for day after day after day? You know what Peter did? He got bored. And he stood up and he says, I know you guys are praying, but I've been reading my Bible. And I noticed we need to replace Judas. And he decided to replace Judas all by himself. He pulls two straws out and he says, let's pick between. They got ahead of God. The thing is, we don't know how to wait and trust God. Christians don't like to have times where they just sit for a while. King Saul was impatient. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13, verse 2. To the right there. Dr. Tony White, would you? Doesn't it sound good? Calling Dr. Tony White. Calling Dr. Tony White. 1 Samuel 13, in verse 2. I'm going to have you read a few verses here. 1 Samuel 13:2. When I get to it, hold on, don't go too fast. All right, 13:2.
Saul chose 2,000 men of Israel, whereas 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan, Gibeon of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent.
So there's a battle getting ready, and he chooses out 2,000 men, and Jonathan's got 1,000, and they're getting ready for this battle. Verse 5. Now I need you to read verses 5 to 14, Tony.
And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 40,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. They came off. When the men of Israel saw that they were in distress, the people were distressed. Then the people used hiding themselves in caves, and in thickets, and in rocks, and in hollow places, and in pits.
All right, hold. Who were hiding themselves? Yeah, but these aren't just the people. These are the soldiers. Why? How many did Saul have? 2,000 and his son had 1,000. How many were on the opposing side? 30,000 plus. Like the sand of the sea. Wouldn't you hide? Huh? Wouldn't you run? Okay, verse 7. All right, now notice that. He's waiting. He's tarrying for Samuel 7 days. And does Samuel show up? No. And it says all the people began to leave and they were scattering. Saul's panicking. Keep going, verse 9.
And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings, and he offered a burnt offering.
Hold on. Saul was what at this time? What position did he hold? He was king. Now, as a king, did he have the calling of God to make offerings and to make sacrifices and to appeal to God in corporate prayer for the needs of the people? Was that his role? No, it wasn't. That was the role of Samuel. Okay? I want you to see, King Saul got impatient. He says, bring me up. I'll do his job. That's Samuel's taking too long to get here. So he steps into another role than he is called to do. Okay, keep going. Uh-oh. Go ahead. Wow, he lost his kingdom because of one. What was his great sin? Well, pride, impatience. That's a scary thought. Saul's impatience hurt him. All right? He decides to act when he was not supposed to. He was to wait and trust. I'll show you another one. 2 Peter 3. And let me get Colette. You're going to read also a few verses, Colette, if you don't mind. 2 Peter 3, 3 to 10. Scoffers today, they're saying, where is Jesus? Where is his coming? He's supposed to come, isn't he? Well, where is he? You know what they're demanding? They're demanding Jesus to show himself before the time. 2 Peter 3, 3 to 10. What is that referring to? When did the water perish the world? When did the world get covered by water? Noah's flood. So a lot of people are ignorant of Noah's flood. And they think, oh, nothing's ever changed since evolution started. And they're ignorant of the fact that, oh, there was a very big disaster that wiped everybody out. Keep going. Verse 7. It
Amen.
Hold. So sometimes God's delay is good. I mean, if He was going to judge this world, He would have done it already and we'd all be lost. Amen. But don't think that, is He asleep or something? No, I'm glad He's patient and He tarries, He waits, He doesn't react like we do. One more verse. Scary verse. All right, so the promise of His coming is going to come true. And when He comes, it ain't going to be good. So thank God for the long suffering, the patience. Now, scoffers say, well, I want Him to, if there is a God, I want Him to show Himself right now. You dummy. If He showed Himself, you'd incinerate on the spot. Okay? So, what about us? What should we do when nothing seems to be happening? Example, people have asked even today and said, what about our building? I tell you, 4.5 months I have been on the phone with the solicitor, with the architect, with the owner of the building. Am I making any progress? No. Nothing seems to be happening, but that's okay. See, what do you do when nothing seems to be happening? What about when you have a loved one who you've been witnessing to, invite to church, you've been telling them the gospel, and they don't respond to the gospel? What do you do? What do you do when the world seems to be getting darker and darker? What do you do? Amen. What do you do when troubles come and they don't seem to go away? Don't seem to get fixed? Did I pray yet? Let's pray. Father, I just feel like praying that You would help us, God, to be ready for the times when nothing seems to happen. I love it when things are happening. When we just see everything coming together, but we need to love it when we're waiting. And just trust You. And just know that really it's not that nothing's happening. Just from our viewpoint, I pray that we get a heavenly viewpoint tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good. Want to get that out of the way? Love to make sure I'm right. First of all, when nothing is happening and time is dragging on and everything seems to be just racing ahead and you're just sitting there. You say, I'm a Christian mom. I'm all the other kids, all the other moms, everything else, they seem to be succeeding and I'm stuck here with these kids. No, you are investing. Okay? You say, man, I'm looking for a job. I'm not getting a job. I'm really banging my head. Amen. When is something going to happen? I don't know, but I want to show you when nothing's happening, how to see it from God's viewpoint. All right? First point. When nothing is happening, make sure something is happening. All right? This is very, very practical. Make sure that you are busy doing what God has already told you to be doing. The danger is we get to doing something, whatever comes into our head. If God hasn't showed you, I'll give you an illustration. Here's Noel. I'm going to use Noel. Noel, you're my friend, Noel, so don't hit me now. Noel says, there's no wife on the horizon. He's going to hate me after this, but I got to use it. It's a good illustration. So he just goes out and gets one. Would that be smart or dumb? Dumb. All right? Now, he's like, God doesn't seem to be providing. Can I talk to you real plain, all right? Let's pretend like nobody else is here. Just you and me, all right? When nothing's happening, make sure you do what God has already told you to do. Don't do what you want to do because you'll regret it for the rest of your life, amen? Make sure you are busy doing what God has already told you to be doing, like reading your Bible. So I don't know what to do. Pick up the book. Read 10 chapters. Fix your heart on heaven. One of the problems is we worry because our heart is not settled. We don't have a resting place. And you're not going to get that in a place of prayer, not until you've been in a place of hearing from God. You will have a patience and a strength to pray when you've heard from Him. So when you don't know what to do, pull out your New Testament, sit down with your Bible, and I don't mean just a few verses. I don't mean the Ouija board style of... No! That will ruin you! That's not a good luck charm. Be reading through your Bible, and God already told you, search the Scriptures. Don't just sample it, but go through it, like you're looking for treasure. already you should be reading your Bible. Secondly, make sure you're busy praising and thanking God for everything. You see, these are very practical things. Thank God for your singleness. I'm going to preach on singleness somehow, sometime here. I promised Christopher I was going to do that. You know, before God gave me my wife, I finally had to sit back because I was quite determined to find me a wife when I was at Bible college. And I tried. But they all ran. I don't understand. But it took me finally deciding, God, I'm going to quit. And I'm just going to be glad to serve you. And if it's alone for the rest of my life, I'll do it. And I had to decide, God, you're in charge, because if I'm in charge and I go and grab somebody to do it, I'll blow it. God, I need to wait on you. It wasn't a few weeks or just a few months, and there was somebody in my life. Well, she didn't notice me, but I noticed her. Amen. God does that. And you've got to resign, accept, and this is Brother Dan's favorite verse, life verse, accept a kernel of corn of wheat, fall to the ground and die. It will always abide alone. What a word. But if you let it die, then it bears fruit. And when you let your need die, God comes in and says, now I can work. So make sure you're praising God and thanking God for where you're at, even though you're single. Amen? Even though your need is not being met. Praise and thank God for everything. Third, just keep soul winning. Just realize you're going to heaven. Amen? Your worst day is better than anybody else's best day. Amen? Draw some people's attention to the Jesus of the Bible. Is this in here? No. Be faithful to church. I get so grieved when people who are having bad weeks, bad months, and they drop away from church. You know what you should be doing? Doing what you were told to do, which is, according to Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. We should be more pulled together, more interested in being together, because the day is approaching. Folks, be faithful to church. Be faithful. Tithing, you say, well, I'm struggling. You know, just be doing what God has already said to do. Pray about everything. You say, what do you do on Monday morning when nothing happened during the weekend? You came to preaching and it just didn't do anything for you. You know what you do on Monday? You get up, you read your Bible, you thank God, you praise God, you pray about your needs, and then you go to work. You just don't sit there and suck your thumb. As a Christian, you say, I got a family to feed. I got a family that's depending upon me to stay focused on what God called me to do, which is, if you're a man, if you're the breadwinner, if you're the mom, if you happen to work, that you do it. Amen? Say, what am I supposed to do when nothing's happening? Do what you're supposed to be doing. Christians used to be known for that. Let's make sure we are known, that we're staying faithful, doing what God has already told us to be doing. Take care of your family while you're waiting on God. Another point, make sure you're using everything up. You know, if you get into a battle, all right, imagine these guys with arrows, bows and arrows. Can you imagine, here's 3,000 men, Saul's and Jonathan's men, facing 30,000 Philistines. You got 10 arrows in the back, in that quiver. It's really a small golf cart, okay? It just holds, instead of golf clubs, it holds arrows, okay? So, if you get into a fight, how lame would it be if you just took one arrow and, I'm quitting. Use up every arrow for the fight. And as a Christian, don't use up all your energy for the disco. Don't use up all your energy for just the job. Don't use up all of your energy and your strength. Don't use your best years for the world. Use it all up for God. When you don't have anything to do, do what God's called you to do and put your life into it. And you know what? You'll be the happiest person on the planet. And don't hold anything back. This Christianity, what day of the week is this, by the way? Don't say Sunday. What is the right day? Right. It's the first day, which means the Lord deserves our first, our best. Don't hold anything back. Make sure you're believing the promises of God. Make sure you're believing, not your heart. Oh, follow your heart. Hollywood has made billions of euros on Oh, my goodness. You know, make sure you just believe the promises of God. I have too many things. Second Corinthians 5:7. I want to see this. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's see. Lily, great verse. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Wow. And that's a big challenge. Because I usually walk by sight. Try closing your eyes. I mean, walls hurt, amen? But, you know, as a Christian, we can't see everything that's happening. And when nothing's happening, we're going to have to just walk by faith, trusting. And we're trusting the Lord, okay? I don't want to give my second point. But my first point is, I need to walk. I don't just need to sit. Oh, no, make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, all right? Sounds very practical, but it leads to the second point, okay? But I want to make sure I also say this. Make sure your heart is active. You know what 1 Peter 1:8 says? In whom, having not seen, ye love. I haven't seen Jesus Christ. I don't think any picture adequately represents him yet. I don't think anybody has ever captured who Jesus really looks like, okay? But one of these days, I will see him. But until I see him, I love him, and I will make sure my heart stays in love with him. Because when nothing's happening, you know, like when I'm away from Nita, if I know she loves me, it's okay. Amen? And when I stay in love with her, it's going to be okay. Make sure our heart stays active the right way. Because if it's not active the right way, guess what? It's going to get hyperactive the wrong way. Panic. Second thing, I want to finish up. Believe something is still happening. First thing, when nothing's happening, is you make sure something is happening. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Secondly, believe that something is still happening. What is happening? What is always happening, no matter what? Three things. God is working all things together for your good. Celine, Romans 8:28. When nothing seems to be happening, guess what? Something is. Amen? Romans 8 in verse 28. Oh, that love God. All right. So what is happening when it seems like nothing is happening? He's at work. I may be able to do nothing about my situation, but I know he is. All right? All things, bad and good, God is working together for my good. And I need to believe that. The greatest challenge of the Christian is to believe God. Paul was on a sinking ship in the middle of a Mediterranean cyclone. It was a rare storm that he got caught in for 2 weeks. It didn't stop raining or blowing. The ship was sinking and falling apart. And he stood up there one day after everybody had not eaten for 2 weeks. They had thrown everything off the ship. And he stood up and he said, "Guys, be of good cheer. Because I believe God." And they looked at him like a nut. But there's something about a Christian needs to be able to say, you know, Lord's going to get us through. I need to believe that God is going to work all things out for good. The second thing, and I don't have time to go through all these verses, but what is always happening, if I'm witnessing to somebody and I try to give them a gospel tract, or I invite them out to church, or I'm showing them the Bible and they keep pushing me away, they keep ignoring me, the second thing that is always happening is that God is already trying to draw them unto his Son. There is nobody. You say, there are people who've never heard. Did you know God is screaming from the universe, "I am here"? The heavens declare the glory of God, trying to get people's attention. So God is already trying to get people saved. He just needs you to come along and put some flesh and bones on the thing. Believe that God is already drawing all men unto himself. Thirdly, you're going to believe that God's in control. He is called Almighty for a reason, amen. So when nothing's happening, he's at work. I'll show you. I'll show you good. Job knew this. Look at Job 23. Let's see, Bill. Job 23 8 through 10. Just before Psalms, Job 23, 8, 9, and 10. So what does he see his situation as? Does he see it as, I'm looking for God, he's not there. When I think I hear him, I go try to find him there and he's not there. He seems to be hiding from me. What does he perceive his situation as? He says it at the end. That's pretty good. He's not going to say, he's not thinking, oh, I'm going to be ruined. He says, no, when I get through this, I'm going to be a better man. I'll come forth as gold. That is the Christian's confidence. It's only a trial. It's not a disaster. Amen. Job knew this. We are so limited by our seeing and our hearing. It's amazing to me that people don't believe the Jesus of the Bible. I think it takes more faith to believe in the great cosmic burp of evolution. I believe it takes more leap of faith to believe that all the things. When we were in the States, we got to go to a museum called the Creation Museum. Ken Ham has done a fantastic job at this massive 5-acre. They've got a portion of the Ark in there that they built. It's just a life-size thing there. It's huge. And in there, we got to sit down and listen to a professor speak on the human ear. And for an hour, he showed these three tiny little bones that are inside everybody's ear. And he went through for an hour describing how perfectly they work and how delicate they are and balanced upon each other. They work through three different mediums, through air, liquid, and solid bone. All three working together so that you can hear the vibration of a pin at 20 feet away. He said, this is absolute blinding proof that evolution could not be true. Because he said, he went through a whole bunch of things and he said, there are blood vessels that run right alongside this very sensitive hearing mechanism. And the blood vessels are kind of like a highway. And those blood vessels, the blood corpuscles, the red cells, are rushing by going from your heart. But the ear has a sound suppression system that says, oh, that's the sound of blood. We don't pay attention to that. And it cancels out. It's kind of like when you have electronic equipment and it cancels out static. It cancels out. Can you imagine living next to a highway and all the trucks going by, but you have the ability to cancel out the sound of the truck so that you can hear the cat 100 feet away? Meow. But our ears, have you ever had a head cold and you can hear the blood going by your ear? It is always going right by your eardrums, but you don't hear it because your ears are that advanced. And I'm like, and these little bitty bones, I mean the bone, I mean a chicken bone. There's nothing, these things are the tiniest little bones, but they move so perfectly and they measure just the smallest bit of difference in air pressure. I mean, we have a built-in GPS system that tells us everything about us, our position. Evolution is a fool's game. I am amazed that people do not believe this Bible. And I'm more amazed that Christians don't. Jesus walked into a village up, and go to Mark chapter 6. I'll show you this. Mark chapter 6. If I can find it. Yes, Mark chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Paul, Mark 6, 1 to 6.
Thank you.
He could there. Watch it. Try it again. All right, that's it all. That's all. Just verse 6. So, was Jesus, was he powerless? Did he go in there and go, "Oh, my power is gone. I have no virtue. I have no ability to heal." What was the problem in those villages? They got upset at, who does this guy think he is? Where did he get all this money? He didn't go to school. Who is this guy? We know who this is. This is the carpenter's son. And they were offended at him. And Jesus said, if you don't start believing, folks, I can't do anything. And folks, let me tell you, the reason why sometimes nothing's happening is because of unbelief. Amen? We need to believe that something, when nothing is happening, we need to believe that something is happening. All right? We need, the blind men believed more than the seeing people, didn't they? Wow. Let's do another one real quick. That's all right, I got there. Jesus marvels at our unbelief. I already said that. We who claim to be Bible believers should always believe that God is at work. Even when nothing is happening. Even when you're in the hospital waiting and nothing seems to be improving. You know what a Christian ought to be able to say? God's at work. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to tell God what to do. I'm just going to ask. And I'm going to trust that God's at work. He's not on holiday. Amen? I wish I had time. There are some great examples in the Bible that encourage us. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5 that teaches about patiently waiting and doing what we're supposed to do even though nothing's happening. I think this is one really good illustration. 2 Kings chapter 5. Just for time, let me read real quick. 2 Kings chapter 5 verses 10 to 15. I can get there. This is about a guy named Naaman. He's not a good guy. He's a centurion. He's a military leader of the enemy, the Syrians. And he was a leper. But God had compassion on him. And watch what it says. And the king of Israel, 2 Kings 5, 10. I should start down there instead of 5. Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan. Note the times. How many times? 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So what is Naaman's problem? What's his health problem? Leprosy. Now, if you've never met a leper, you have no idea what it is. But his body is falling off the shell. He is in a bad way. He is dying of a bacterial disease that kills because it just eats away your flesh. And Elisha says, go and wash 7 times and you'll come back clean. But Naaman was wroth. He went away, stormed away, and he said, behold, I thought that he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, the sickness, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus, aren't they better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And the service is kind of like when somebody says, why do I have to believe that old Bible? Can't I believe the new books? Can't I go? No, you better go by what God says. Verse 13, his servants, they're good, they're smart. They came near and they spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Well, how much rather when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. So he went down and he dipped himself how many times? 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What's my point? I think the most disappointing 6 dips in the river occurred. I think he went over, he got in there, his soldiers are watching him, Elisha's over there, and he went, okay. And he gets in the water up to here, and he goes down, and he comes up, and he says, see, nothing happened. And the guys on the side went, 7! I told you nothing's going to happen! 7! Nothing's happening! Get back in that water. Okay, all right. And he goes down 4. than five. And I believe he was mad and frustrated and saying, nothing's happening. What's he doing? He's doing what he was told to do. And it took seven times. And I believe the most marvelous thing happened when he came up out of that water and he says, see, I told you! It worked! He came out of that water walking on water, I bet you, because when he just stayed with it. At first, for six times, nothing happened. Do you understand what I'm saying? Six times. No, get it. 6 years, 6 months, however long it takes. But when God says, now, you'll walk on water. You'll say, it was worth it. Amen? I think it's a great illustration. How about Solomon? Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, we won't go to it just for time. I want to finish up. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the waters. And after many days, it will come back to you. That's a strange thing. Why would you throw your bread? Bread is your livelihood. That's what you eat. Man does not live on bread alone, but that's pretty important. Why would you throw? It's an investment principle. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. And you don't invest your life into just one thing. You cast it upon many waters. Lots of different directions. And what will happen is some of them are going to come back. And you know, there's a great illustration in the Bible where a woman actually put her bread, the most precious thing in her life, in a basket on the water and sent it downstream to a fearful situation to another woman. And she prayed that that woman would have a mother's heart and take that baby in. Who was it? Baby Moses. She cast her bread upon the water, didn't she? And many days later, he came back. The principle is this. You cannot figure what's going to happen. But Solomon teaches us that we're going to have to trust that when nothing's happening and we just do what God asks us to do, it comes back to us. Isn't that a blessing? Third one. David learns to... David's been anointed to be king. He's been told you're going to be king of all Israel. And for seven long years, nothing happens. Is that right? He has to run and hide from Saul for 7 years. But when nothing's happening, what can we say? Something was happening. God was just preparing. I really believe David was not ready to be king when he was anointed. He was just a young lad. He could have been king, but he was not prepared to be the great king he was going to be until he learned to live in those caves and care for people who came to him. Remember who came to him? All those who were distressed and in debt. Boy, we'd make a good company. and troubled and had problems. And he began to care for people so that when he became a king, he would care for a nation. Let me tell you, those 7 years, he just started ministering even though he was not king. James 5:11 says these wonderful words, ye have heard of the patience of Job. You ought to go back and read Job. He found it hard to be patient. But you've heard about it. One of the most famous men in the Bible. You can mention almost anybody. What they'll say? Oh, Job. Yeah, I've heard about Job. Because he was patient. What did his wife want to do? Not go on holiday. Wanted to curse God. And she said, just kill me now. Let's just curse God and die. Job says, we're sticking with the program. Amen? Amen. How about parents? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've got to follow some great examples that says, you know, it's not working. I have beat my head against the wall. My kids aren't coming out perfect like I expect. My husband's not coming out perfect like I expect. And listen, let me tell you. When you do things right, you do it for the long term. And it comes back to you right. We've got to start saying, when nothing's happening, something's happening. All of these examples, one more. How about Jesus? He says, lay not up your treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up your treasure where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves, hallelujah, or bankers break through nor steal. We live for the long term. We invest in things that we can't see because we believe in that more than the things that we can. Amen. Conclusion. Let's run this thing through. There are times when nothing is happening around us. Amen? And much of the Christian life is a quiet waiting on God. So what do you do when you're waiting on God? What do you do? Make sure something is happening. Make sure you're busy, not making things up as you go along, but doing what God has already told you to do. I've had people work for me. I worked for the telephone company, and I got to hire, and I loved it. I got to fire. And I had people working for me, and you know, when I wasn't in the room, guess what I expected them to be doing? What I told them to do. And you know what I'm talking about. You've been there either as employee or as employer. You expect them not to be doing their own things. You expect them to be doing what you told them to do. How come we don't think that's the same with God? Do what God has already told us. Secondly, believe that something is still happening. I think that's where we need to start seeing things from God's viewpoint. God's just saying, just be patient, Ledbetter. Just wait. What does Ecclesiastes 3:11 say? I think it's 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Let Him work it all out. Amen? He's at work. And the follow the great examples of patience about most people in the Bible didn't get what they were looking for right away. Even though they trusted God. You've been reading on Wednesday nights, the triumph of faith. All of those folks, some of them were hard triumphs. Long battles. Let's see. Review questions. What are some things that should always be happening in the life of the believer? Reading your Bible. And I mean not just one chapter. Somebody else. What else? What else should be happening? Okay, always trusting. Praying about everything. Just pray. Why not pray? At least you can do that. What else, Paul? Oh, you don't scratch yourself because I'm going to get you. Amen. Marcus. I think praising God. Somebody once said this. The most important things that Christians should be doing is reading their Bible and praising God. I like that. Fix your attitude. Somebody's going to ask you, what is wrong with you? And then you'll be able to give them the gospel. What else should you be doing when you don't know? Yes, Eric.
Be a church.
You know, the last thing you need is to be off by yourself pouting. You need with God's people because it's kind of like coals and a fire. And you just come away going, man, I needed that. I saw another hand. Yes, ma'am. Soul winning. Care about others. Can you not just realize there's some people who need the Lord? I saw one or two more. Yes. Despina. Good. You should be willing to wait. I love it. Second question. Some of you ought to tell me, what is always happening no matter what? God is work. He's working everything together. Not if you believe that. The challenge is going to be tomorrow when you say, wait a minute, nothing right is happening. Go, I guess everything is okay. God is working all things together. God is drawing all men unto His Son. God is in control. What are some... Name me a great example of patience in the Bible. Somebody give me... I listed 6 or 7 of them. David, great. Who else? Despina. Job, who else? No. Joseph is... We didn't even... I mean, you look through... What Martin is showing you is that when you start to think, you'll go, boy, there's at least 24 more. Because that is a book of life, not a book of instant incantations and just get things done right away. It's long term. Joseph, anybody else? Abraham, brilliant. Somebody's thinking outside of the box. Despina? Paul? How so? Good. He went from prison to prison and he was enjoying it. Amen. Amen. How about the first one? Naaman? Those were the 6 longest dips in history. Amen. Most depressing. How about parents? Sometimes, man, we're talking about the family. Folks, I just encourage you. When nothing's happening, start walking by faith and not by sight. Don't think that what you think is real. Think about what God thinks, and God thinks He's busy. Amen. Do you know God has only taken one day off in all of history? Do you know that? What day did He take off? Well, the 7th day after He created everything, He said, well, this is good. And it said, and the Lord rested on that 7th day. Did you know what? He ain't taken a day off since. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.